Welcome back. If you aren't already following Naked, please take a minute to do so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Each follow means so much and it actually helps a lot. If you have more than just a minute, it would be absolutely incredible if you could leave a review and maybe even share an episode with a friend. I'm relatively new to the pod world, especially new to the things that are important in the podcasting world. And apparently reviews and follows are up there on the list of importance. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Welcome to Naked, where stories unfold. I'm your host, Janelle, a once former pastor's wife who exchanged small town living for a nomadic life. The unexpected change in our life led my husband and our four kids to traveling the world. From years of being rooted in our small town to the thrill of wandering the world, our story has been anything but ordinary. On our journeys, we've met amazing people, learned their way of life, and heard their unique stories, which has led me to understand the profound impact of shared experiences. In each episode, we explore moments of transformation, guided by one single question. Is there a time in your life when everything changed? We invite ordinary storytellers like yourself to share the often unexpected turns in life. So grab a seat and settle in. This is the Naked Podcast. Welcome back to Naked. We've taken a bit of a break and I've flown back to Canada because my dad got really sick really quickly. He had a life-threatening infection in his body. And so I flew back to Canada to be with my family and be support to my parents. So we took a little bit of a break with Naked because there's just so much going on, but we're back. Today's podcast is actually one that my husband and I recorded prior to all the chaos happening and me flying back to Canada. And we've been traveling through the summer, we've been staying in these beautiful homes. And like our own home that we used to own, we had a collection of things that oftentimes stored in the garage or in a crawl space. And so one of the places we stayed at had a garage that was full of boxes and so many things, it was hard to really see what was all there. And it just sparked this idea, is like, what if we shared a part of our story about getting rid of things, which started first when we moved initially to start traveling and purging things that we didn't need, that were no longer serving us. And just we just realized there was just so much clutter that we had packed in boxes that we didn't realize we're taking up space in our head. So in this podcast, we talk a little bit more about what that was like initially, getting rid of things, letting go of things that felt like they were really we were attached to items in our home. And then the freedom that's come from letting go, and how even with traveling, it's been so hard at times to not collect things and to continually be in a practice of like letting go and being mindful of not holding on to things, because things don't really bring back the memory. It's the memory in our minds, and pictures can take us back there so easily. So in this conversation, Greg and I just chat about, basically the beginning of our purging spree. We used to purge every spring and then again, do it every spring. It was just a constant thing every year we do, to now a place in our life where we have very few things, and even just learning how to do that as we travel. So I hope that you enjoy this episode. Thank you so much for being here and being part of the Naked community. It really means so much that you take time to come and hang out with us. So I hope that you enjoy this episode and that you have a beautiful day. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm glad you're here. We are currently, we spent the summer house sitting. We're like, let's try something different. We've been traveling for a long time. The kids love animals and so do we. We're like, hey, we end up volunteering at lots of animal shelters. Why don't we just submerge ourselves into houses where animals live and just take care of people's homes. So we've been traveling, and I think what you don't realize is the things that you possess and have until sometimes you walk into your garage and you're like, damn, we have a lot of stuff.
This isn't even a garage. This is the loft above the garage.
Right.
The garage is also in a similar state.
Yeah. But I think the reason why we're both like, dang, is because we know what this feels like.
Exactly. It's not from a place of judgment.
No.
It's from a place of understanding of like, oh, yeah. Like, there's sometimes you just forget. For me, like, I walked in on this and I went, I had a feeling that I knew and understood. Mm-hmm. Of like, every time I walked into my garage, when I was doing construction.
Yeah.
And like, tools and wood and side project things, so like it was all the old houses. Mm-hmm. So we find these little like fireplaces and stuff that we may one day use, and it's like in the garage. Beams. It's like, hey, someone's giving away beams. I mean, those are worth hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
And then they sat in the garage for ever.
10 years.
And yeah. I never used them. I ended up giving them away. But it's like,
yeah,
that's gonna save me hundreds one day.
Yeah.
And it's gonna.
Or like canvas. We had this huge roll of canvas. It was really good.
No, it was suncloth.
Suncloth, sorry. And we're like, oh man, this would be a great like sun shading area for the backyard. Yeah. We're totally gonna do this and turn it into something. And I'm pretty sure we housed that for like the entire time. I actually think it came from two houses with us. I think we had it for like 12 years. And then it ended up giving it away. And I think it's
somebody from Australia gave us that.
Yeah.
Because they brought it back with them. Never used it. And we gave it away to somebody that never used it.
Yeah. Sitting in their garage, I think. So. Yeah. The accumulation of things. I remember, just like having so many kids too, holding on to clothes, being like, eventually the kids are going to fit into these clothes and passing them down when it's like a, 7-year gap. And then you have the kids and some of it you keep, but much of it you just like give away because it's not smells now or it like something got into the bag or something.
But there's like, it's just that feeling of annoyance. And a little bit of like shame and guilt. And I don't know. I'm trying to sort through it right now. I couldn't remember if it was the mess, the disorder, or just the excess. Like there is so much. Like I don't know where the shame was actually coming from. Mm-hmm. There was like underneath it, I think it was probably just like, I am not taking care of my stuff. I can't even park in my garage.
Yeah.
Almost ever.
Yeah.
I remember one winter where we cleaned out enough to actually fit the car in. So we didn't have to sit outside. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is what it's like to not have to like scrape your windshield every day. Mm-hmm. So.
I think it didn't matter. Like I remember spending every spring, it was like a regular thing for us, is we would go through and purge. And it's crazy how much you can accumulate in those like 7 months period or 6 months, 8 months period, whatever, collecting things from Christmas and all the birthdays and all things that happen. And then spring would come and it was like, time to purge. And we'd get like really on it and pull things out of the crawl space, get into the garage. And even then, I feel like it felt kind of organized.
It wasn't much of a purge, though. It was like, let's
organize
things into containers and build more shelves so we can to house the containers. It's like, we can squeeze something into this space here and it feels organized.
Yeah.
But you didn't, there was like a light purging. It was like, this is clearly garbage. We got to get rid of it or whatever. But
to me, it felt like a purge, even if it just meant moving it out of the house into the garage.
Right.
You know, just like getting it out of the space and like out of sight, out of mind. I don't think I ever felt like good about the amount of things we had in the garage or even knew where things were, even when they were labeled. It was like, well, that bin's behind that bin and that bin's on top of that bin. And it was
a little Tetris-y.
Yeah. It was like difficult to get to things. So when you came in here and you saw this and you're like, oh my gosh, let's do a podcast in this loft of stuff. What were you thinking? Are you like,
what? I just think it would a great backdrop.
Well, yeah, if you're only listening to this and not watching it, we are sitting in amongst hundreds of boxes. And
so apparently, a company had to close or lose their property or something. And so the company, the gentleman, that owned part of the company or was part of it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we'll stick it in my garage. And then it all ended up here. And there's like lots of tech and apparently tennis rackets. And amongst other things, there's bikes in here. There's all sorts of stuff, but mostly tech. Mm-hmm. I can't really tell.
So it's just a lot of stuff.
You can't see it around the corner here, but there's like a stack of servers and drive banks, and it's just a lot. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw it, I was just like, "Oh, I've forgotten what this feels like. Like it's such a foreign thing because we've been staying like Airbnbs mostly for the last
almost 7 years.
Yeah, and then doing this house sit thing. Thing here in the UK is people like little things. Mm-hmm. So like all the little shelves.
Windowsill,
anything. It's like got stuff on it, trinkets and stuff. It's a very popular thing.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, oh, okay. So collecting and and holding and having collections of things is popular. So that's a thing. And then you just realize that, oh yeah, the collection of stuff, it can get away on you so quickly. And then it's like, what is it adding value at all? Is it saving you like any space in your life? Like, the reason I was holding on to tools and stuff so much is like, oh, it could save me money.
Yeah.
It could save me time later on. Mm-hmm. It's useful to have those things around. And it was sometimes useful to have those things around.
Yeah.
And it did sometimes save me money, but it took up space in my life. It took up space in me. Because clearly I had feelings about it every time I went into the garage or every time I went to get something. That, oh, I have that somewhere and I can use it. And there was a sense of like, oh, I've done something to save a little bit, but it took up other space.
Hmm.
You can't really name or put a price on.
Yeah.
And so I guess when I came in here, it's just like brought up all these feelings. And I'm like, that's probably something we should talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, because now we don't have much. We have some heirloom pieces.
Yeah. Really, we cut down a lot this last year again.
I've said last couple of years, it's just like, I just want a few pieces that the kids argue about when I die. It's like, oh, I want this thing and I want this thing. So I want a few good things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of it. And we've cut down every year we've gone back to Canada.
Yeah.
We keep going through our stuff. We keep cutting it down less and less and less. I got rid of all my tools last time.
Yeah.
I think that in the garage
for
all those years, I think that was clogging up most of the space was like tools and wood and construction materials and then like Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, we even gave away our Christmas tree, which was like our beloved tree. Like, I was like, we can't get rid of the tree. And it was a beautiful, tall, full tree that we could just use every year. But we haven't. In the last like 7 years, because the pandemic, we used it 1 year. But other than that, we haven't used it. And we gave it to a family who lost everything in the Ukraine.
Mm.
And that was like giving them a lot of our Christmas decorations and our Christmas tree. And for a family who didn't even have anything but like basically the clothes on their backs. And now they're using it. And it's like, well, now it's being used for something good.
The tree has life again.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was really, I remember it feeling really hard to part with some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when we first started traveling, I had these like tufted chairs, and I talk about these every so often because they held something for me. It felt like it held something special for me.
Well, it held you.
Yeah, and I did a lot of writing in there. That's where I began to write, and that's where I started to explore the inner parts of me and have tea and have like really alone time. And then I remember those being hauled off, and I was just like, my like part of my heart was like going with the chairs, and like part of me felt as though maybe I wouldn't be able to write, like that there was something about sitting in the chair. It's, you know, like when you have those moments when you have you're like you're gonna go grab something, and you go downstairs like, what am I here for? What am I trying to grab here?
Yeah.
And like, I could go back to the place that you were sitting where you had that thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost felt like that. It was like, it almost felt like sitting in those chairs was a trigger to like unleashing something in me to actually explore. And so letting those go was like it was really heartbreaking. But I realized that they were just an avenue for me to connect to my inner like parts of me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't actually the trigger. It felt like it.
It was the trigger.
Yeah, it was, but it wasn't the only trigger. Yeah, it didn't have to continue to be.
Yeah.
But it was a comfy space to be in. And I was writing about this at one point too, just reading back on it, watching people walk away with things that like I had carefully curated and picked for our home. And like now my friends are walking out with them and putting them on their walls and in their spaces. And yeah, it can be a lot getting rid of things. It can feel like, whether it's things that you love or things that just take up space.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I've realized is like clutter in your home is clutter in your mind. You know, even with us traveling, like we just purged now recently because we were like, why are we traveling with so many things? We originally started traveling with
3 carry-ons and 6 backpacks, and that did us a year.
Yeah, so 6 people.
Yeah.
Everybody got half a carry-on suitcase.
Yeah.
And a backpack.
Yeah.
And that was it. So I remember it's so light. I mean, we were moving every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, every month.
Yeah.
And so you had to be light. But yeah. I remember being like walking off a plane with everything.
Yeah.
No check luggage, nothing. And then you just walk right onto a train.
So good.
And then you arrive at your place or whatever. It was just so simple and so easy. Mm-hmm. So like now it was a problem because some Airbnbs are not in the same state as other ones. So you'd have pots with no handles. We never had a good knife.
Yeah.
Like that entire first year, it was just...
cutting with a butter knife for everything. Yeah, it
was awful. Airbnb knives are the worst.
Yeah.
I think there was one spot that had half a decent knife. So now we travel with my knives because you got to cook.
And
so there's this balance of like functionality and luxury and comfort. So like mugs. Mm-hmm. This is my mug. Mm-hmm. And it's come with me since
Merida. So like
Merida.
2.5 years, 3 years.
Yeah. But it was a gift and I use it every day. Now most places have mugs, but so I can function without it, but do I want to?
Yeah.
It's a small luxury. So I don't know. We've kind of been on both sides of that and I feel really, really heavy. Or have the last year or so. It's just like with all this extra stuff, you know, but doing like the house sits and things, you're in cold weather. Sometimes you're in warm weather a month later. And so it's just like, what do you do with all your stuff? You have to have like so many different types of clothing to function. So I don't know. I'm still trying to find that balance. I just know what it feels like to be heavy and cumbersome and like have to like, somebody has to ride the train to the next location because we have too much shit to fit into the car along with everybody else. It's like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that feeling. Mm-hmm. Not that the train's a problem. It's great. Yeah. But like just that feeling of, it's just heavy. Mm-hmm. So, and some people are better at it than others. Getting rid of the things and letting go and staying light and I don't know. It's a balance.
It is. And it's a hard, and I think no matter what season or where you are in life, I think it's really easy to accumulate because whether you have a junk drawer in your kitchen or whether you have your garage, it's full of excess things or whether it's an extra suitcase that's carrying random things that you may or may not look at for the entire summer, which is what we found. Mm-hmm. Like, why do we have a luggage full that we're just dragging around that we haven't even gone into this summer? Mm-hmm. And so it's just realizing like, just clutter can find you. Mm-hmm. It can quickly like show up and you're like, oh my gosh, how did we get all this stuff? And how does it make me feel?
It's like rabbits.
Yeah, it does. And the kids are so good at collecting, especially our youngest Ellie. She's just very good at collecting things.
She attaches so much emotion to things.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say it. All I know is I don't have any tools left back in Canada, but there are still 4 boxes of Christmas decorations, so.
Yeah, I got rid of a lot of them.
Just kidding.
I'm getting better. Some of them are really, like, you know, pieces to help the kids fight over. They never will. But.
They might want your pumpkins. They might.
I got rid of my pumpkins.
Did you? When?
Yeah, a couple years ago. Huh. I'm a big fall person. Hmm? When fall comes, I'm like, all into the pumpkins. I paint pumpkins like ones that I can reuse year and year and year after.
Oh, I know.
And I love creating and crafting though. Like it's part of it is the feeling of fall, that like nesting feeling where like let's get the candles rolling, let's make some pie, let's get the pumpkins happening. And like I took great pleasure in decorating our front door every year with pumpkins and like just getting it ready for the season. Mm-hmm. I just love that. I just feel that itch every single fall. I mean, depends on what the weather's like, but the weather that we have now is very Canadian-like weather. And I'm like, oh, I have the itch to do a get a pumpkin going. But honestly, it's just things. And I think it's good to do those things, and it's also good to let them go. And I let go.
So you've gotten a lot better.
I have.
I remember we were just going through all the footage to make like a little mini documentary for a film festival that we can't enter now because of whatever reason, but going through all the footage and coming across the footage of you.
Yeah.
The first time when we were purging to start traveling. So it was after the border, after all of our stuff was in the moving truck on a vacation in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. For 4 months or whatever it was, and then came back and the truck backed up and unloaded everything into your parents' garage. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, there's 100 and something boxes. I can't remember what it was. It was ridiculous. Amongst everything else.
Yeah.
And then it's just, we had to go through it all. Mm-hmm. And we took days to go through each box.
Yeah.
And separate, like, oh, I'm going to let this go or I'm going to keep this. And there's like this video of you just having this little breakdown. Mm-hmm. Of just like, I can't take any more loss. Mm-hmm. Like what was going on? Like,
the thing is that we'd just done it 15 weeks prior, because if you've watched the other podcasts, if you haven't listened to them, go back to 25 and 26. Those episodes, we explain a bit more about why we're traveling. And so we had packed everything, which was very tedious packing. And I had gotten really good at packing because we had bought and sold many houses and it was fine. But this was so much different. It was like everything in the box had to be labeled, like everything. So on top of the box, you had the labeling, you had to print it, and then you had to go to like the spreadsheet and had everything labeled there, what was in that box. And it was just a lot of work. And then to take all of our furniture and all our boxes on a field trip to BC for the summer, they got their own little holiday, and then haul it all back. It was a massive amount of expense. It cost us like $10,000 to take our furniture on a road trip.
There's more.
But more. It was more than that. Because then we had to house it and pay for it to like sit in Vancouver and not, you know, just enjoy the weather. And then bring it back. And then I think going through all of it, it already was a very emotional journey. Mm-hmm. But then going through all of it and looking at things that I was like, okay. Now we're trying to get all our stuff down to a smaller amount so we can put it into a storage container. And it felt like everything I held was posed with a question. Like, do I keep it? Do I let it go? And at that point, it felt like we lost so much, both financially and emotionally. We lost gallons of tears and just feeling like we're kind of falling, not knowing what the right step is. And even in this decision, is this the right step? Like, is selling our things and traveling, is that a good decision, you know? And just sitting in a lot of unknowns. So I think when you came up to me in that video and you asked me and I just started to cry, I think I was holding a book or something, which meant nothing to me, but it was just like...
Just one other thing.
One other thing, you know? And there was so much that was leaving. There's so much that we were getting rid of because we're like trying to pare it down. And now I can't think about any of those. I don't know what any of those things were, you know. They don't hold any weight. Even just recently getting rid of some things. I'm like, I haven't worn these all summer. I guess I don't need them, you know. And just getting better at letting go. But at that point, it felt like there was so much that we had let go of already. Or maybe that was ripped from us. That it felt, it just felt very emotional. Mm-hmm. Felt like, yeah, it just...
So how do you get better at that? How do you get better at letting go, at purging, at not having attachment to things?
I listened to a podcast a couple of years ago. It's a minimalist podcast. And there's these two guys, and I might butcher the story, but I think the story went something along the lines of his mom had passed away, and he was left with all of her things. And he was like, what am I going to do with all this stuff? And he went under her bed, and there's all these, like, very well organized, like, you know, Rubbermaid rollies. And he's like, there's pictures and there's letters and there's these things. And he's like, I guess we'll just store it. Like, we got to sell the house. So let's just store it. So he did that. And he just like, there's just so much stuff like sitting here weighing him down. And eventually he's like, what am I going to do with this? Like, I'm paying $400 a month to just store stuff, you know? And so then he went through and he's like, why don't I just take photos of the things that do matter to me that I want to look back at, like a letter from whomever that she received from somebody that was special, or pictures. Like, why do I have boxes and boxes and boxes of photos? Most of them are just not very good because, you know, back when we were developing photos, it was a picture and you hoped it turned out. It didn't turn out. We kept it anyways, you know? And he's like, I just decided to take photos of things, put them on a hard drive, and put that little hard drive into, like, a special spot. If I ever wanted to go, I have it. But not feel like I have to hold all of this. And I think the freedom, and he said, I think, in the podcast, when you hold, when you have clutter in your life, it clutters up this. Like, it, it, mm-hmm. it doesn't allow things to feel like they're, like, you don't feel free. Have so many things. You don't even know what you have. You just have things. You know, you're looking for glue. You know, I don't know. It's in one of these four junk drawers. I don't know which one, you know? And I just, I had those. I had so many pockets of that. And I think I've gotten better because, one, I feel like our lifestyle has kind of forced that mm-hmm. in me. And two, going back every year and going through our things and looking at the things that I forgot about, going, this doesn't hold as much for me as I thought it did, and I can let it go because I haven't thought about it. Mm-hmm. It's not a thing, you know? And just, I guess, being okay with things coming and going, realizing that those things don't hold nostalgia, like my mind and my memory and photos that I have hold more of those memories. I get more triggered going back into those spaces, looking at photos or listening to the kids, you know, talk and listening to little voices or 3-year-old voices. And right. it's like, I don't need to keep Ellie's dress that I love that she wore when she was 3 that I loved. And I had it for years. Like, I love this dress. It was so cute. She did like a Frozen birthday party and held all these beautiful mm-hmm. nostalgia like feelings to it. It's really, it's okay. Like, she's never going to put her daughter in that. The idea of me saving that so that one day right. she can put her daughter in it, it's just not a thing. Like, I need to just let it go. And so I just realized that it's in the moments. It's like, it's revisiting right. those moments with just having things on my phone or a hard drive and being able to go back and visit those spaces and realizing it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know? I don't know if that answers your question, but...
No, it's... I'm just curious. Like, we never really talked about this.
No, we don't. We haven't really. How about for you?
Again, like, I'm not a nostalgic mm-hmm. person. When it comes to like items and things,
yeah,
it's very, very few for me. It's value. Like, even when we go like thrifting mm-hmm. and it's like, I see like a Hermes bag. I'm like, oh, it's about the value of that bag.
Yeah.
And the fact that I do like the way the bag looked.
Yeah.
But then I brought it back. You're like, oh, I've been looking for one of those. And you like just took it. I was like, yeah, we got it for you. and it's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's totally fine because for me, it's about the value. So I didn't really have much trouble letting things go. Mm. Like even when like last year when we were selling off like all my tools and stuff like this, she's like, if I need it, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's fine. It doesn't hold much for me. I think things that are irreplaceable are harder. Mm-hmm. So like our couches, if we bought those vintage couches, if mm-hmm. something happened to those, I'd be like, oh, because you can't go pick them up. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I really like that. I think it was the same minimalist thing. We're just going to plug that podcast over and over again, but we're just doing a really poor job of representing what they are.
Like, this story does not align to like,
no, his like, mom never died.
I picked it up from 4 other stories and put it together into my own.
But they have like the 20/20 rule.
Oh,
if I can replace it for under $20 and pick it up less than 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
I just move that to 40/40.
Oh.
And it's just like, I don't need to keep it around. Like why?
Yeah.
You know, it just takes up space in me. Mm-hmm. Takes up like this. It just becomes this. Now all this stuff is valuable. Mm-hmm. Right. Like this, I got thousands of dollars in like server racks right here, but it's like, it's not serving its purpose.
Yeah.
It's not serving its function. It's just sitting. Mm-hmm. And like, so what is it then? Because it's not functioning properly.
Yeah.
It's not doing what it was intended to do. And just taking up space. I don't know. Like, I hate it. I hate it with everything within me. Mm-hmm. And I did it for so long. So I, yeah, every time we go back, I don't have a problem letting things go at it. I get rid of stuff really quickly. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything left that I really hold on to other than heirloom pieces.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I mean, photos, they're all on the cloud. They're all backed up on hard drives and
right.
things like that. So, like, that's would be the only thing I really care about. So, like, people, when you're telling me about the people from Ukraine that had to leave, mm-hmm. they left without their photos and stuff like that. That's a big deal for me. I'd be like, oh, mm-hmm. that's terrible. That's hard.
Yeah.
You know? Because you do go back on those. You do see those things. Mm-hmm. You do visit those moments and you forget. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things you do forget that photos will trigger. And you're like, oh, I totally forgot doing that. Mm-hmm. And then like this flood of like memories.
Yeah.
An emotion that comes with it. Good, bad, ugly, all of it. It's just like all that emotion. It's like, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
It's all sitting in there. Yeah. I don't know.
I think we did a lot of, like what you're saying, a lot of carting things around. Like we lived in over, 17 homes just when in our own country where we were buying and selling properties between the, you know, the first 10 years of our marriage.
There's a bunch of boxes we wouldn't even unpack.
I know.
That's we would just go thing. From this storage space to this crawl space to this garage to like it just.
Yeah. And that's the thing is we haul stuff. We carry it around. I remember my brother once moving and you were helping him move and he was trying to get a box into the trailer or whatever. And the box, from what I understand, was just like, it was hard to manage. It was heavy and it was hard. It was so much.
It was full of papers
paper, right?
And cards.
Right.
So like old letters and it was his wife's.
Yeah.
And so it's just like filled with all this memorabilia.
Yeah.
And he's like, why do we have this? It's just scattered in there. Like,
yeah.
Just, it's heavy because it's all paper.
Yeah.
So he puts it, we're in the back of the moving truck, and he puts it on a table. The table wasn't sitting upright like this. It was sitting on its side. So he had to get it up into a space. So he put it on the table leg, and it broke the table leg. And he lost it. He absolutely went ballistic. I started laughing. So I stepped out of the truck. So I got this like side view of this truck and this box of papers just... It just goes flying out the back of the truck. It hits the wall in the garage and just explodes with papers. Oh my gosh. And he's so mad. Mm-hmm. So Kendrick comes out to see what's going on. She's like, what are you doing? That's my papers. Yeah, this whole thing. It was so much fun.
I feel like we've had many moments like that, maybe less dramatic because my papers didn't break the table leg. But like I...
Because you're less dramatic.
Well, I just
had... Well, you're less... fiery.
But I just like, I'm like, no, I need that. Like, that's all the kids' outfits they wore in the first month of them being born. You're like, what are we keeping this?
Why do we have Christmas cards from random people? Like, this.
Why do you have gift cards from our wedding day?
I threw away so much stuff without you knowing.
I bet. And I never looked back.
No, because I'm like, next time we visit this, she's never going to know it even existed.
But if I saw it, I was like, no, I don't want it to go. I think it's just part of it's just personalities and how we see things mm-hmm. and, you know, look at things. Some of our kids are really good at getting rid of stuff and some of our kids are not very good at getting rid of stuff. And it's just, it's a struggle. I think it's a struggle. Like even when we started traveling this last time, I was like, I want to bring this. And honestly, when we're in Airbnbs where there's nothing and it's very bare bones, it does bring a sense of like home.
Yeah.
Like a sense of like, oh, like we have napkins, you know, it kind of does feel good. But the way we've been living recently, we've been in homes. So the homes are homes. They're, mm-hmm. they're full of everything that you could need or want. So those things haven't come out.
It's a much different feel.
Yeah. Very.
Than Airbnbs.
Yeah.
Like it, I can't explain. It feels warm.
One feels empty and one feels warm.
Yeah.
You can feel when a place is loved and you can feel when it's not, mm-hmm. you know, like someone in the Airbnb has the knowing to put a living plant in it. It changes the essence of the space. Right. And that's like oftentimes in Airbnbs, like we just need to get a plant or something to make this place feel more alive and
homey. Plant.
Yeah. Or plants. Depends on where we live. But you know, and so it definitely does change, but for me, it's very easy for me to accumulate. And I noticed that during the pandemic, we lived
in Canada for just over a year. And the amount of things that I had to like purge at the end of that, it was astounding. Our garage, which I was just going through videos and I found videos of our garage there. And again, we had stuff. Yeah. I was like, how does the garage become the landing pad for all the things that you...
It's out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, right? You just tuck things. You just store things. You don't...
It pulls energy from you.
Yeah, and it's...
Right? And it's just like, that's why putting stuff into storage and paying $400 a month or whatever it is to just be rid of it...
Yeah.
...is... It's kicking the can down the road, but it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
You don't have to deal with it. So, like, I'm wondering how much of the stuff... It's just like, I just don't want to deal with it. I don't have the energy to dive into the emotion behind these things or the connection that these things have to things I don't want to deal with right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you just push it off and you just pay a little bit to not have to confront the things you don't want to confront.
Yeah.
And that's not wrong. It's just sometimes you need more time.
Yeah.
And that's understandable. Like the things we let go of now, it's like you said, I wasn't ready to let go of before, but
mm-hmm.
now it doesn't hold the meaning it once held.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you just need a little bit of time to take the rough edges off.
Yeah.
So you can deal with whatever that is.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not from a place of like condemnation or judgment of having or holding or even doing this. It's, you know, it's probably multiple people that are all part owners of all these things, and it's just a favor doing it, keeping it here.
Yeah.
Because the space is available until they can actually all go through it. And maybe the company ended poorly.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with, you know, if everybody's 1/5 owner of all this stuff and there's 2 of them that aren't talking.
Yeah.
Then you gotta confront all that and make decisions and say, sometimes it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're stuck. Or
mm-hmm.
sometimes you just don't want to or can't.
Yeah.
It's too close.
Yeah.
You need the time. So I don't know. I just.
How would you do things differently now? It's been 7 years and we've had different like ups and downs of accumulation and purging and living. And like you said, last summer we got rid of all your tools and a lot more of other things that I was like, I'm gonna hold on to this, just let it go. What would you do differently, or, you know, for people who are listening going, yeah, I have like a whole garage full of stuff, like, well, I mean, to each their own, but what would you...
Well, 40-40 to start.
Yeah,
for sure. If I can replace this for $40 when I need it, then I'll just get rid of it for now. Sell it. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
Make space so that there's space in you. What did I do differently? That's an interesting question. I think I'd look at reality more and not ideals.
Hmm.
So like even now, like... traveling, I remember when we went to Nicaragua and I had my case with my monitor in it.
Oh, yeah.
And all my camera gear and all my stuff, and which got taken at that border.
Yeah.
And had that whole thing. But it was just like this ideal that I could set up a studio anywhere.
Hmm.
You know, with all the stuff that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And not the stuff that I only need.
Yeah.
And so like the reality versus the ideal, like reality is these are the few things that I need.
Yeah.
Ideal is this whole.
Yeah.
Oh, this will happen and this will happen. I think facing those realities earlier and just looking at those going, yeah, I do know that this and this will happen or I will need this and this. And just face that earlier, I think. Mm. I don't know. There's like a romanticism to, oh, if I have the right thing. It's like buying gym shoes before you go to the gym.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if I get the outfit and the shoes, then I'll go to the gym, or whatever, you know, the motivation
mm-hmm.
is behind it. It's like, oh, if I have the thing, then I'll use it.
Yeah.
Like reverse that.
Yeah.
Start doing the thing and then buy what you need. get what you need as you do it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's like, I think there's like an ideal, a romantic idea in our head. Mm-hmm. And
well, it can even happen in in the kitchen, like with buying groceries. So a while back, we were like, okay, let's plan our meals. We had our meal planned. Mm-hmm. Everything we bought down to like the pretty much the measurements was like, we need 5 cups of blueberries. I'm like, okay. And we were really intentional. And at the end of that month, you're like, gosh, we saved like a bunch of money. Like just having our meals really planned out. And everybody ate 3 times a day and had 3 snacks a day. Like it was so, it wasn't like anyone was not being served food, you know? And then, you know, we just had this conversation how you go to the grocery store without a plan. And maybe it's just that reality too. Like, I'm going to make apple pie or something. Like, I get really inspired sometimes. And then I'm like, I can lose my steam. Or I just think, oh, like I want to eat a lot of zucchini or something. And I'll get like all the zucchini. And then not do anything with it. And you're like, oh my gosh, like what a waste. But I think that's something that I think is definitely a thread that has kind of woven and followed us throughout our journey. And it's an embarrassing thing because I don't like to be wasteful. But like having a plan, having your meals like thought out, prepared in your mind, allows you to have less, again, clutter in your house, clutter in the fridge, where you're just like, because if you buy things that go together, you can make a meal. If you buy a couple of things because you just were inspired to just do something, and then you don't have a purpose for all those things, they just don't get eaten, right. And it's such a waste.
It's like outfits.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
When we first started traveling, everything went together. You could mix, match, combo. The few items that we did have, it was like everything could be worn with everything. It was like, and people would comment, such a stylish family. And it's like, we were living out of half a suitcase and a backpack.
But everything, we had 10 items on average. You've already had about 10, 12 items. Mm-hmm. And those items went seamlessly together. You could mix them in.
What I did love, it was so hard, but it made life so easy, was when we had that very limited space, mm-hmm. being like, if I buy something, I have to get rid of something.
Yeah.
Right? And I love that, like, because it eliminated so many things off my list. It'd be walking and just looking at stores and shopping, being like, oh, look at this. I'd love this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what am I going to get rid of?
Yeah. It's or like, does that pair well with what I have? Or do I have to buy 3 other things to make that a full outfit?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And like not having
Well, it makes decisions so much easier.
Yeah.
It's like school uniforms. Nobody has to decide what they're wearing when they go to school with a uniform. It's just
because everything there. You wear, you feel great in. And that's, I think we realized when we had the 10 items is like everything we had was like we loved.
Yeah.
Like we loved it. And so there wasn't any like, what am I going to wear? Because it wasn't cluttered full of so many other options. It was just like, this is what I have and I love what I have. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it just worked. You just thought differently when you purchase things. It was a very mindful act, like actively mindfully purchasing things, going, does this work for my wardrobe?
Mm-hmm. And outside of art,
yeah,
we didn't purchase almost anything else.
We didn't.
We'd buy art and send it back. But like
one art, well, a couple articles of clothing, but I mean, that's on my hand. I could count that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shoes. I buy shoes.
Yeah.
That's my downfall.
Yeah. But I mean, again, you're mindful because you buy things that are like, again, are going to go with your outfits. And mm-hmm. I think, yeah, when we're looking back at footage, I was surprised to see just the variations of what the kids are wearing, but they were all within that 12 items. Mm-hmm. And it feels good. It feels good to feel good in your clothes.
That felt the best.
It did. Yeah.
That was the hardest.
Yeah.
But it felt the best.
It did. You never had to think about it. Just everything was amazing. But the thing I think I've realized is even as I've accumulated more clothing and brought more with me this time, because I'm always wearing my 10 favorite things.
Wearing them now.
I wear this all the time. And these Lululemons have gone around the world with me. And they're
covered in dog hair now.
But I mean, 10 years later, they still look great. you know, because it's quality and it's something that I love.
That's the thing. You buy good stuff.
Yeah.
It's like Lulu, good job.
Yeah.
Well done. Almost all the stuff that we've got from them is like lasted forever.
Yeah.
Burton.
Oh, man.
Your hoodies and your bags. We've have.
How many bags now?
Too many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 7 Burton bags and we've had problems with 2 of them. Sent them both in, both replaced.
Yeah.
Like, they're fantastic. Well, and they've literally for 7 years.
Yeah. Gone everywhere.
Traveled the whole world.
Yeah.
Like, overpacked, zipped
hauled upstairs.
No broken seams, nothing.
No.
They get dirty. Like, we have a canvas one that gets dirty, but like the other fabrics don't. It's wonderful. You did an incredible job.
Yeah.
So
that is worth, if you're going to travel, I say get yourself proper like suitcases. Mm-hmm. And our Burton is amazing. Their wheels are made like skateboard wheels. So they can endure everything. And they do. And they have.
Yeah. I had 1 wheel break.
Yeah.
On Kiki when she went to Costa Rica. She's dragging that thing across the border. But they replaced it.
Yeah. Yeah. They fixed the wheel.
We sent it in. Fixed it.
Yeah. Amazing. And just a nice to have. The 10 things that you love that you wear. It just, I don't know.
So what? Only keep what you love. So our rules.
Yeah.
Only keep what you love.
Yeah. Love it or list it. That's how I say to kids. Not that we're listing it, but.
Buy good shit.
Yeah. Quality.
Yep. Be as ethical as possible mm-hmm. when doing so. Mm-hmm. So local artisanship.
Thrift shop.
My favorite. Thrift shop if
thrift
you can.
Thrift shop it up.
Yeah. Anything else?
Mm.
These aren't your rules. These are our rules.
Yeah. I'm sure there's another one. I'm just not thinking of it. Love what you own. Like.
Yeah, it was the first one.
I know, but I'm just.
Oh, we'll put it in twice?
That. Love what you own. Like, starting in with that. Important. If you don't love it, don't have it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
Purpose it. If you're not using your Christmas tree
somebody
for 7 years,
will love it.
Give it to somebody else.
Yeah, somebody else will love it.
Yeah. I think that's, I don't know. And your home too. Like, I was talking to a friend a little while ago and she's like, I don't know where to start. Start in one room. Yeah. Start in one room.
One drawer.
One drawer. Like in the kitchen, that's what I did. Because I feel like we wanted to move towards that anyways, even though it was not nearly as easy when mm-hmm. we had to decide what was going to be kept and what was going to be stored and what was being given away. But I started to go through the drawers and like, okay, one drawer a day. And then by the end of the week, you know, I'd done 7 drawers and it felt really accomplished. I felt really good. Did the same thing to the pantry. I hauled everything out of the pantry. I went and got glass containers from like dollar store, I think, or something like that. And I like labeled everything. I was like, why am I housing things like, what of spirulina from 2002? Okay. Like I need to have this. Doesn't taste good, and I've got canned goods in here from the same year as well. Like, just get rid of it. Put it so you can see it. Mm-hmm. So you can actually see what you have, and then you're more apt to want to use it.
I love the shallow fridges here.
Really nice.
So great. You can't, nothing gets tucked in the back. No. It's like discovered weeks later. Like, oh, my God.
No.
Like, no, they're like, all shallow. I love that.
It's just so nice, yeah. Right? And then take every room in your house and go through it. I think the best, it's funny, the best our house felt was just before we were going to sell it.
Every time.
We got rid of so many things. I had this huge like craft area that I was like, no, I love this craft area. And I was like, we can minimize that. We can get this down. There's things in here that I don't
use.
We have
that giant IKEA wardrobe.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's what I'm talking about.
Like, oh my goodness. That thing was huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And it took us stored so many things.
We sold it?
Yeah. That room.
We picked it up from IKEA like. Pick and go or whatever it's called, yeah. The as-is department, as-is? Something
yeah.
like that.
As-is, yeah.
Like, piece it together over, like, several months mm-hmm. going back to mm-hmm. IKEA all the time. And then, like, these giant doors and, like, made the whole thing work and it served its purpose. Yeah. We were homeschooling. There was, like, tons of stuff in there. But it took up so much space in that room. And then when it was gone, I was like, oh, man, I forgot.
This room's huge.
Giant.
It felt so much better, mm-hmm. you know, to not... And it's not that you can't... have those things, but I think I don't know, those places can just become like a stuffing zone where yeah. you just stuff and you don't know what's there, and it just becomes an accumulation of things that you don't really know what's there. Yep. Out of sight, out of mind, close that door, I don't have to think about it, you know. But I even think back to when, if you are somebody who's like trying to figure out how to minimize your house and bring things to much more manageable where you don't have so much clutter, I did this thing before we moved where I had all my clothes hung in my closet.
With the hangers?
Yeah. And then as I wore them, I turned the hanger. So at the end of the month, I could see the articles of clothing that I did wear, and I took everything out of drawers and hung it all.
That's another minimalist thing.
Probably. Plug it. At the end of the month, I was like, oh my goodness, like, I think I had maybe a quarter of what was in my closet actually had the handles turned. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I don't wear a lot of my things.
But like, how much of that again is like the romantic idea of like,
yeah,
I'm going to put this thing together, this outfit, or this is going to look this way, or it's going to make me feel this way or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like you're only comfortable in certain things, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, I remember going shopping and buying like goal pants.
You
like,
did?
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to fit into those. And it's like, this shirt's too tight, but I'm going to fit into it. And then I'd have like this whole section of like shame. Mm-hmm. This is the shame section of my closet. Being like, if only you were better as a person, you could fit into this and look awesome. Totally. No, you're just.
I forgot that you did that.
Bad at being human.
I forgot you had that like really sparkly shirt. Do you remember?
I know.
You held onto that for, I don't know, a decade, half a decade. I don't know.
Easy.
Yeah. Just like, but I had those things too. Many things, especially after like having kids.
But even just recently, like all the shirts that I let go of.
Yeah.
Because they didn't fit. They were too big. But it's like, those were good shirts.
Yeah.
Like really good shirts.
Yeah.
And again, it was, for me, it was value. It's like, right. Oh, this is a Robert Graham. This is a $200 shirt. And
yeah,
I'm donating it. Like, no, it's out of my life.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about it anymore. It was at a date. I wasn't going to wear it again.
Yeah.
But it's like.
The idea of the cost of it, though, that the price of what you paid for it, going, this has so much value. Yeah. I can't let go of this thing. Instead of like letting it go and letting it become value to somebody else.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like your shit becomes somebody else's treasure, you know,
mm-hmm.
and letting it be that way. That's why I love thrift shopping, is because getting rid of a lot of things and realizing, okay, if I want a dress to go out to a nice fancy dinner that I'm going to wear once in a while, unless it's like a piece that you love, you know.
I mean, like ball gowns in Austria type.
Yeah,
dinner?
I did bring ball gowns to Austria when I was 19 and we got married. I was like, I'm bringing all this stuff. I need high heels. I need ballroom gowns, like satin
rollerblades,
velvet dresses, rollerblades. Like,
and we were living in the hills.
I was gonna like rollerblade up in the Alps, like,
you know? Literally people with lederhosen walking out front, delivering yogurt and milk, walking and their cow. Like,
and I was like, but I have my dress and all my high heels.
Well, we didn't know. It's funny. No.
What you don't know, right? What was I saying?
Thrifting.
Oh, yeah. That's why I love thrifting, is because I look back on some pictures. Like, we went to this Packwood Grand event years ago, mm-hmm. And it was, like, this really classy event. It was like, I don't have a dress. And so,
where to put my
so much stuff. And I went to Valley Village, which I love. It's one of my favorite.
Valley Village.
Yeah, the boutique of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought this really cute dress, and I bought these cute high heels, and even got gloves and a hat. And I was like, I think I walked out of there for definitely under $20.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and I felt great. And I never really went to an event that fancy again. So I ended up donating it all.
Right.
But it just felt, I think, reminding ourselves that there are ways to like not hold on to things because we're hoping and or that we're going to fit into them one day. I had a whole section of pants like that for a while, especially after I had kids. My body changed every single time, and it's still changing, you know, and just realizing that if it doesn't fit you, it doesn't serve a purpose. Like, it just hangs shame over your head.
Right.
Like, I'm not good enough. I'm not doing enough to make my body, you know, fit into those. It's like, okay, well, that's not really helping you. It's not really giving you any momentum. And finding different ways to.
That takes up a whole different space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff can get a little bit rooted and cause a lot of unneeded guilt and shame. Yeah.
Instead of that shit.
Yeah. and said, like, free yourself.
That's the first thing to go.
Mm-hmm. Maybe don't start in your kitchen. Maybe start in your closet. And, yeah, get rid of the shame. Get a shame out of the house. And it feels so good. Honestly, it feels so good. Even just recently when we brought all those bags, I was like, I don't know, 5 or 4 bags, whatever it was, to the secondhand store. And I was like, okay. I just need to get it out of here. Yeah. And it feels better.
Mm-hmm.
It feels a lot better. It feels lighter. Mind and body.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We were just inspired to talk about shit and stuff that you have in your house, things that you just accumulate, things that just hold places in your heart that maybe you don't need to do. And we've learned to continue. I think we're still learning, continuing to learn.
Yeah.
I think we'll always be, because it'll always be easy for me to hold on to things and hold some sort of nostalgia to it and just to like let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And just not hold things so tightly and realize the freedom that comes with that. Clutter in your home, clutter in your car, just clutter in your mind, clutter in your body. Mm-hmm. And just, it's been a good thing. It's been a steep learning curve for us. And I think we'll just continue to learn and remind ourselves about spaces like this that take up so much stuff, take up so much room, even though you can tuck them away behind a door.
Well, like, you can own all the stuff, but at some point it owns you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to keep that relationship right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways.
That's all I got.
Yeah. Yeah, so thanks for hanging out with us today. We're just shooting the breeze, drinking tea and drinking coffee.
While
Greg's out. Thought we'd share a little snippet of what we've learned, what we're learning.
Learning.
Yeah. Always learning. Yeah. So, to all those that are lovers of minimalists, we hope that we've not butchered that story and you're like, wow, we really...
Oh, yeah. If you want to know what to do, just find that podcast.
Yeah.
They'll tell you what to do.
They'll give you some good tips.
Yeah.
How to do it. We're just wobbling our way through it. Really.
Like the bumpers on like those bowling alleys.
Yeah.
It's just like keep hitting from side to side. Just yeah. It was too much stuff, not enough stuff. It's just.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever been like not enough stuff. I think.
That first year.
Okay.
The fact we can't cut up fruit.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Like.
That's true.
We were short on a lot of things.
That's true.
But. Yeah. So you just go buy it, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I remember you buy cheap pots and pans, but then you're cooking in trash and it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
All right, that's a wrap. Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcast goodness. This way you'll never miss out on any future episodes, plus it really helps us. And if you want to share your favorite episode with a friend, that would be absolutely incredible. This goes a long way. If you'd like to join Naked by sharing part of your story, just leave us a message on Instagram or email us at nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. Also, a big thanks to my son, Mikkel, who is the best cheerleader and maybe one of the biggest believers in Naked, and also produces and edits all our podcasts. I am beyond grateful for him and very aware that I couldn't do this on my own. Thank you so much for tuning in and for being here.